Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, October 22nd, 2017. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. Her sermon today is Heirs of the Covenant. The Old Testament lesson is from Psalm 67, and the New Testament reading is from Galatians chapter 3, verse 25 through chapter 4, verse 7.
Our Old Testament reading today comes from Psalm 67. May the Lord be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Salah. That your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Salah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. I'm looking for my New Testament text. New Testament text comes from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. This is Galatians 3, 25 through 4, verse 7. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you who, as were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. My point is this: heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are owners of all the property. But they remain under guardians and trustees until the date set by the Father. So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. Please join me in a word of prayer. God, we long to hear you and to know your will. And sometimes that is complicated and hard and complex. God, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to help interpret your word for us today, that we might hear the message that you long to plant in our hearts, and then you would change us and our thoughts and our actions so that our lives might be about following you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder, is there such a thing as good Christians and better Christians? On the surface, we say, no, right? You can't have good and better Christians. But then what we say and how we act tends to start adding a few distinctions in. We do look up to people who are people of great generosity and compassion. Wow. Mother Teresa, there's a good Christian, right? We give awards sometimes at General Assembly to special men and women of faith. And even locally, we know the people who we would ask to pray for us, because we know the ones who are really praying and not just saying, oh, I'll pray for you. We know the ones who are deep biblical scholars. So I think if we're really honest with ourselves, we would say, Yeah, we do sometimes judge who are the good Christians and who are the better Christians. And on top of that, I think sometimes secretly, right, we're ranking. Maybe secretly you think, yeah, I'm doing a little bit better than somebody else. But maybe sometimes we wonder if maybe we're the ones who aren't measuring up. We're the ones who aren't good enough. I think the biggest place I hear this is when, you know, you ask somebody to be in leadership or to help, and they go, I've only been here for 10 years. Not compared to so-and-so who's been here for 30. And we back away. And so we wonder, maybe we're the bad Christian. Maybe sometimes we feel like second-class citizens, even among folks in our own church. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. I don't know. So what happened to the gospel? Didn't we all find our hope in Christ Jesus? Then how did this other stuff sneak in? Well, I think Paul's letter to the Galatians might have something to say about that. Because Paul's whole reason for writing to the church in Galatia is to clear up what the gospel is and isn't. For Paul had come to that area and preached Christ, but then later on, other well-meaning missionaries showed up. And they said, yes, we believe in Christ too. But in addition to believing in Christ, to be a good Christian and to be a mature follower in Christ, these messengers also said, you need to be Jewish. You need to be following Jewish laws. If you're really going to be a better Christian and a mature follower of Christ, then you need to be obeying Sabbath and get circumcised. If you're really going to be a good Christian, then you need to obey the Torah and the Mosaic law. So yes, Paul had a point. He preached about Christ. And take the next step. Do more. Why would the Galatians listen to that message? The Galatians were trying to be faithful. They were trying to grow closer to God. And they heard this message from these other voices that says, yes, yes, although you're a Gentile and you are included in God's family, here's what that looks like, and here's how you can do that better. And then Paul comes back with this letter, and he is pissed off. He is angry and aghast that the Galatians are listening to these other influences. He is so stark about this that he is accusing them of putting themselves back into slavery. A slave must obey orders or runs the risk of being sold or dismissed from service or dismissed from the household. And so he compares that likewise a person who attempts to follow the additional instruction to be circumcised and follow Mosaic law are putting themselves under those laws and expectations as if they were slaves. Paul reminds the Galatians that they are not slaves. They're not these added-in hired help of Christ's household. They are the heirs. They have full standing with anyone else who is in Christ Jesus. And so these Gentiles who had heard the gospel and who felt like second-class citizens, because other folks had told them, yeah, you're second-class citizens until you get these other requirements done, needed this reminder. And it's a powerful reminder, because the Gentiles would have understood under Roman law that adopted children have the same legal status and inherited rights as the biological children do. It's a very small but interesting nuance that Paul doesn't necessarily compare that the Jewish are the biological children and the Gentiles are the adopted children, and that's what makes them equal. He actually argues that the true heir is Jesus Christ. And anybody else who is in Christ, Jews and Greeks together, are all adopted into that household. That's the gift. That's freedom. What a relief for the Gentiles who are feeling like those second-class citizens to receive Paul's letter. Reading, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. It's all about God's action in the world. God's the one who chooses to adopt and give full heir status to the Greeks and the Jews. It's not based upon any efforts that humans have made, but by God's action alone. It reminds you of that verse in the Gospel of John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's God's action. But because of Paul's passionate and intelligent writings, his insistence that it is God's action in the world and God's promises, he pushed aside those other voices that said it has to be conditional. And so the good news of Christ did not stay isolated as a subsect of a small set of believers in the Middle East, but indeed spread throughout the world. The gospel spread through the Roman Empire, across Turkey, across the Mediterranean Sea, eventually to other continents, as God's covenant family grew larger and larger, and Christianity is now a world religion. For indeed, how many of us could trace our ancestry back to the Middle East or to being Jewish? We're the Gentiles in this story. We're included because we have received the good news and believed it by faith. And so we are the ones who have been adopted and are now the heirs of Christ. And no one can make us second-class citizens. For in Christ, we have a place of full belonging. We are claimed as God's children. We are the ones who can turn to God crying, Abba, Father. And that we are all in Christ together does have impact on our life and how we see ourselves and how we treat other believers and people. Perhaps one of the most quoted verses in Paul's letter to Galatia is this: there is no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free, no longer male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Scholars think this is an early baptismal formula, that it had been repeated at baptisms. Now, I want to be clear, there are distinctions between human beings, right? But what Paul is arguing is that these distinctions do not have the power to divide or to oppress. So just to be clear, you don't cease being who you are. But it's saying that Christ is the defining identity. And that any of those distinctions that we see and we judge with one another cannot be used to be pushing somebody up and somebody else down. You can't make anyone the second-class citizen, or you can't push anyone else out of Christ's household. You can't push anyone else out of Christ's church, because our identity is in Christ, and Christ is the one who holds us together and makes us heirs together. And so I wonder if this letter to the Galatians is the reminder to us, starting with our words and our thoughts. Because sometimes we judge people, it doesn't come out of our mouth, but we think these thoughts in our head. So there are the times that we might notice that we're judging one another, that we're judging ourselves. And to notice the times that we have inadvertently and sinfully added any extra criteria onto Christ's grace. and to noticing in ourselves if sometimes we are turning to other sources of hope other than Christ and trying to make those the conditional things. Also, though, there is the focus of how we treat one another. For if we could treat one another with a sense that those distinctions that we see and judge are there, that they do not make anyone more than or less than, wouldn't our world look like a different place? If distinctions like Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, black or white, immigrant or citizen, Republican or Democrat, longtime church members or newcomers, retirees or young families, Vallejo residents or Fairfield residents, 9 a.m. worshipers or 11 a.m. worshipers, past Baptists or longtime Presbyterians, were distinctions that could never be used to push anyone out of Christ's household. For indeed, we are one in Christ, not by what we do or what we have added, but in Christ alone. Thanks be to God.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.